Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga Daf Beis. Beis Hashem Yisbarach, we begin the Masechta. We have the schus of beginning to learn Masechta Chagiga, which, as we will mitzvah be learning, speaks primarily, the subject of the Masechta is to discuss the obligations one has when Yontif comes, when the Shalosh Regalim comes to be Oyle Regal. When somebody comes to be Oyle Regal, the three kabbonis that were obligated to be brought. One is the oilus riya, a carbon oila that everybody has to bring. As the pasuk says, v'lo yora ponai rekom, one may not come to be oila regal without bringing a carbon. The Gemara is going, as we're going to learn, the Gemara is going to teach us that that refers to the carbon oila. There's a chiv to bring the shal mechegiga, as the pasuk says, V'chagoysem oisoi chag la'Hashem, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah also, that as one is oil regal, he has to bring along with him a carbon chagiga. And then there is the shalme simcha, as the pasuk says, V'samachta b'chagecha, and as the pasuk also teaches us, that to fulfill the chiv and the obligation to have simcha yontif, we could only fulfill that obligation by eating meat, as the pasuk says, v'zavachta shlom v'chalta shom v'samachta. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem a discussion if one has meat, but it's not shalmei simcha, it's not carbon shlom meat. It's meat that somebody shechted, slaughtered properly, is one fulfilling the mitzvah of eating this with that alone. Or does one have to have shlomim to fulfill that obligation? As we have the schus of learning Masechta Chagiga, the Afika Yam writes that it's very important to learn Masechta Chagiga. As he writes, Achash ein biyodeinu b'avaniseinu rabim, we who no longer have the opportunity, la'alus ul'royus l'kayim b'poil, to go up and do alila rigol as we actually can do, bring the kabbonis, as we could actually just discuss, should be brought. Neshama parmes v'seinu, we could do it, release learning this Masechta. There are many that would say that one should learn Masechta Chagiga, specifically when it has a yard site, because one of the reasons given is as we get to the end of the Masechta speaks about praising Klal Yisrael, even the people amongst Klal Yisrael who do Averis. And therefore, we learn Masechta Chagiga, and Chagiga teaches us that every Jew is important, and therefore is deserving of Gan Eden, is deserving Olam Haba. Rabbi Kivega, there's a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega, his name was Rabbi Leon Migraichitz, who says that if somebody is suffering, unfortunately, he should learn Masechta Chagiga. And by learning Masechta Chagiga, it will bring Yeshuas to Klal Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to begin learning the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Hakel Chayavim Beria, everybody is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Ria, Chutz Mecher Shoyt V'Katan, except a Cher Shoyt V'Katan. V'Tumtum is an individual that we cannot determine if he's a male or a female. Androgynous is an individual who has the simonim of both a male and a female. V'nosh v'avodim shenim shukharim, women and slaves, avodim kananim, that are still working as avodim. V'chigar, somebody cannot walk. Somebody cannot walk easily, normally. V'asuma, somebody who's blind. V'achayla, somebody who's sick. V'azokin, somebody who's elderly and can't walk. Mishena yochel la'alos b'raglav, somebody who doesn't have the ability to walk from, even though he's not a chigur, but he doesn't have the ability to walk from Yishlaim to Azara. All of these individuals are exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah. And as we discussed, there are two aspects to the mitzvah of being oil regal. One is the actual appearance in the Azara during the Shalosh Regalim. And the second part, as we mentioned a few moments ago, is bringing kabbonis. V'liroa pnei reikom. Rashi says that the riyah that is being discussed in our Mishnah is the mitzvah of riyas panim. We're focused on the mitzvah of attending, being in the Beis HaMikdash. Tosfos asks on Rashi that we just learned that our Mishnah also speaks about, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, that our Mishnah speaks about the Kabbonis and all the details of the Kabbonis. And therefore, Tosfos says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the primary purpose of our Mishnah actually is to speak about the Chiyuv of the Kabbonis. And because we speak about the Chiyuv of the Kabbonis, the Mishnah also references the Chiyuv of Riyas Panim. But Tosfos says the primary point is the point of Riyas, of bringing the Kabbonis. The Yad David says that the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, who said that when somebody would be oil regal, he would make a bracha. And not only did he make a bracha, but I saw other achronim suggest that he would make a shachianu on the opportunity to do the mitzvah of riyah, like for all other mitzvahs. Tosfos also points out that although, as we just learned, there are a number of people who the Mishnah identified who are not chayiv to be oil regal, the list is not exhaustive. And there are other people who the Mishnah doesn't mention. For example, as we're going to learn, individuals who others cannot associate with because they have a bad odor, etc. All of those individuals we're going to learn in the Gemara are also obligated to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Avadim She'enem Meshuchrarim means that Avadim who are not freed. We're going to speak soon in the Gemara about Avadim who are partially free and are partially not free. But clearly indicated in our Mishnah is Avadim She'enem Meshuchrarim, Avadim who are not free. That means if you have an Eved who is free, such an Eved would be Chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel. However, the Torah Evan points out that the Pasuk, when it speaks about the opportunity for us to do Aliyah L'Regel, says Lo Yachmad Ish Es Artzecha. So we see from this Pasuk that it has to be Artzecha. A person has to have property in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore asks the Torah Evan that we know that Avodim don't have a portion in territory in Eretz Yisrael. So why are they Chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel? So he says that it is possible for an Eved to have property that's a Yisrael. Because the halacha is that were an Eved to marry a regular after he was freed, we know that an Eved Kanani after he's freed is considered a full-fledged Jew. And after he's freed and he's considered a full-fledged Jew, were he to marry a Jewish woman, and his wife were to pre-decease him, the halacha is that the husband is the Yorish of the wife. So if the husband inherits his wife, if she owned any property from her family, then he would be able to be an owner of property in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we have a case where Eved Kanani, who was freed, has a property in Eretz Yisrael. There's a fundamental question that the Achroinim discuss. When we speak about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah that one should find himself in the Beis HaMikdash when on the Sholosh Regalim? Doesn't make a difference how he gets there. Or is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel entail actually going to Yerushalayim? That if one departed the mitzvah, is the actually getting to Yerushalayim, getting to Beis HaMikdash on the Sholosh Regalim? What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that if somebody could get there by car or he could walk, if the getting there is a mitzvah, so the halach is that he should be able that he should rather walk to do the mitzvah in a more serious fashion, in a more enthusiastic fashion. If, however, the mitzvah is just finding yourself in the Azara, it doesn't make a difference how you got there. Another nafkamina is if, as somebody is traveling to be Oyla Regal, is he considered Oysik B'Mitzvah? We know there's a rule throughout Shas that Oysik B'Mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, and if Oysik B'Mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, then if the traveling is considered a mitzvah, then we could say that as well. If on the other hand, it's not if it's not considered the actual mitzvah, then we don't have the rule of oisim mitzvah, patim and a mitzvah. So there's a raya that the actual traveling is considered a mitzvah. Because remember that Avram Avinu said to the Melech Sodoim, imichut v'asroi chanal. So the Medrash says, b'schus, that Avram Avinu said, imichut v'asroi chanal, klai yisro v'zoicha, to be oyle regal. So we see from here that the Sruchanal, the actual traveling, is also considered part of the mitzvah. But I saw that the Shas Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Bey Simon Yud Zayin, quotes Rabbeinu Chai about this, and it says, and he quotes that there are rayas that they traveled by horse to be oyle regal. And if we're saying, as was suggesting, that if the mitzvah of Alila Regal is the actual traveling, and it's preferable, therefore, to do it by foot, how do we understand the different sources that he quotes in Yerushalmi that indicate that they traveled by horse to be Oil Regal? So he answers that Klal Yisrael, from all of Eretz Yisrael, traveled to Yerushalayim, traveled to Nazara to do the mitzvah of Alila Regal. It's difficult to accept that they should have to walk those very significant distances. And therefore he says that everybody from outside Yerushalayim who was traveling towards Yerushalayim to do the mitzvah Lila Regal would actually travel on horses. But once people, he says, arrived in Yerushalayim, then they would walk till the Beis HaMikdash, till the Azara, to do the mitzvah Lila Regal in the most preferable manner possible. Ezel cotton begins the Mishnah. Who is considered a cotton that doesn't have to do a real regal? Says the Mishnah, Ko Sheina Yochel Lirkav Al Ksefav Shlovav Laos Mirushalayim Larbais. If he's not that mature that he could travel by traveling on his father's shoulder to be got to the Harab from Mirushalayim to Harabais, he is too young to be considered Chayiv in a real regal. And as the Rishonim point out, that's a very young age, because you could put anybody, you could carry anybody. And therefore, the Rishonim explained what the Mishnah means. It's not just that he could be carried by his father to be able to do Alila Regal. What the Mishnah means, he's old enough to be able to help in being carried to be Alila Regal. It's not that he's so just a little child that doesn't have the ability to have the intelligence to help in being oyle regel. B'sil Amrim, Kol She'en Yochel Lachos B'yad Shel Aviv, is not old enough that he could hold on to his father's hand. Olalos Mirushalayim L'Bahar Abayis Shenem Esholosh Regolim. So it's very interesting. Rashi over here points out that, and we'll read the words of Rashi, Av Mekan Ve'Elech, but if he's older, Abish En Chayim in the Torah, even though he's still very young, he's not Bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah yet. Hetiluch chama al aviv al imoy. The Torah put the obligation on his father and mother. L'chan chay b'mitzvahs. So from here we see the Rashi opinion is that the chiyuv of chinuch not only is on a father, but the chiyuv of chinuch is actually on a mother, which opens up a very important discussion. Is the chiyuv chinuch indeed in all situations a chiyuv on both parents or only on the father? The Magen Avraham in Simen Shin Mem Gimel Sif Katan Aleph says that actually the chiyuv of chinuch is only on a father and not on a mother. And he says, he brings many rayas and he quotes a Trumas Adeshin that there's no chiyuv chinuch on a mother. On the other hand, our Mishnah, our Gemara, Rashi clearly indicates that there's a chiyuv chinuch on the mother. And therefore they explain that what our Mishnah means to say that the halacha of chinuch is on the father. What Rashi means to say when he speaks about the mother is needed because the child won't separate itself from its mother. But it's not that the mother is chayiv in the chinuch. It's talking a practical situation. The Mishnah Brura in Simon Tufresh Tezayin Sif Katan Hay says that he's speaking about Hilchos Yom Kippurim, that the mitzvah of chinuch is only on a father and not on the mother. He says that there are poskim that say that there is a chiyuv on the mother as well, but the Mishnah Berurah says that certainly the primary mitzvah of chinuch is only on a father and not on a mother. Continues the Mishnah, Beshama Emrim, the Torah, when it speaks about, as we spoke about earlier, the chiyuv to bring kabbonis when we all oil a regal, says ish kamatnas yodai. The ish kamatnas yodai means that everybody should bring whatever they could afford as a carbon. But what our Mishnah now identifies is that the Chazal did say that there's certain amounts that should be spent on the carbon. Beshama imrim hariya, the minimum amount that she brought on the oilus riya is shtei kesef, 2 mas of kesef, which is a third of a dinner. Chagiga, and the carbon chagiga, the minimum that should be spent is a mar kesef. And beisil imrim hariya, the oilus riya is a mar kesef, for chagiga, shtei kesef. And all of these explanations will be explained in the Gemara. All these shiurim will be explained in the Gemara. The Miri says that even though we just had a discussion about what is the minimum shear for carbon for the various kabbonis that are brought, says the Miri, the Shalmi Simcha, which we discussed at the beginning of our shear, everybody agrees that there is no minimum shear. As much as you bring is fine. So the Mishnah started with the words Hakol Chayavim Beriya. And as we often discuss in our shiurim, every word of the Mishnah is there for a reason. So what is the Mishnah coming to teach us that hasn't already been mentioned explicitly with those words, Hakol Chayavim Beriya? Hakol Lasuyamai. What is it coming to teach us? Says the Gemara Lasuyay. It's coming to teach us that individual, Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrim, somebody who's half Eved and half Ben Chayrim, such an individual is Chay Beriya as well. Ravina asked the Gemara, Ravina Dami Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrim, Potam and Ariya, that such an individual is actually Potam and Ariya. So Hakol, we go back to our original question, Hakol Lasuyamai. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us with the word Lahakol? Answers the Gemara, Lasui Chiga B'Yom Rishon. If somebody was a Chiga on the first day of Yontif, and therefore he was not obligated, as we just learned in the Mishnah, to do Aliyah L'Regel, and then when the Spashit, he got better B'Yom Sheni, that he's not Chayiv in Riyah. But that actually, asked the Gemara, is the subject of a discussion that we're going to have later in our Masechta on Daf Tesam and Aleph. The Mishnah discusses there that if somebody did not bring the kabbonis, somebody did not bring his karm chagiga on the first day of Yontif, he could bring it during the other days of Yontif. And the Amoraim discussed there, how do we understand that? Do we understand that concept that all of the other days of Yontif are tashlumim derishin? That if somebody cannot bring the carbon on the first day of Yontif, he has the opportunity to make it up on the other days of Yontif? Or is it to be understood that every day has its own obligation? And if somebody, for whatever reason, was exempt from bringing the carbon on the first day Yontif, he could bring it on the other day's Yontif. So says the Gemara, that there's a chiv every day to bring carbon. So that's what. So therefore, somebody who was a chiger on the first day of Yontif is not mechuyev, is going to be mechuyev to bring a carbon oil riyah on the other days. Because although the first day Yontif he couldn't bring the carbon oil, he wasn't mechuyev to bring the carbon oil riyah, he was a chiger, the other days are makeup days for that day. Eleman Dama asked the Gemara, to kulon tashlum in the rishon. And if you weren't obligated to bring the carbon on the first day, you are no longer obligated to bring the carbon on any other day. Ask the Gemara, hakol l'suyamai. What is hakol coming to teach us? That hakol chayavim beriya, says the Gemara, l'suyah suma b'achas me'enav. Says the Gemara, if somebody is blind, but he's blind only in one eye, such an individual is obligated in the chiv ariya. Says the Gemara, Deloikai Tana, this is not considered consistent with what the Tana says that we're going to learn later. The Tanya, Yochim and the Havai Amim Mishum Rabbi Huda, Suma Ba'achs Me'enov, Potam and Ariya. Somebody who's blind in one eye actually is exempt from the Mitzvah Riya, because the Torah says, Shalosh Pam B'Shona, Yirah Kol Zechorcha Es Pnei Hashem. That's Pnei Adam. So there's a Kri and a Ksiv. The Kri is, the Ksiv is Yira, that the person should show himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kri is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see him. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, what we learn, what he learns from this pasuk is, Kederach Shebarach Liris is Adam, Kach Ba Lirois, Ma Lirois, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person. So, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have eyes. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person with a complete vision. Af L'Royos, the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at, has to be a person, B'shtei Oyinov, a person who has two functioning eyes. And if this individual does not have two functioning eyes, the Torah is telling us he's exempt from the Mitzvah Sriya. That's how Rashi learns the limit. Tosfos learns the limud. So according to Rashi, both words are referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But according to Tosfos, one word is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other word is speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and about the person. And what the limud is, that just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, he looks at us with complete vision. And if an individual, and therefore the person who's doing a Lila Regal, also has to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu with complete vision. And if a person doesn't have the ability to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the complete vision, because unfortunately he's blind, such an individual is part of being a Lila Regal. And there's a very famous vort from the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech says that each one of us was created with two eyes. Why do we have two eyes? One eye is to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other eye is to see how insignificant we are. A person who's suma be'achas me'enov, somebody who doesn't have the ability to have that to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with two eyes, that doesn't have both of those qualities, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want him to be oily regal. And in fact, I saw a beautiful vart for Ramey Shapiro, the Lublina Rav Zitzal. He says, the Pasuk says, regarding describing Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says in Parshas Zayis HaBracha, Lekasa Einai, his eyes did not get diminished. Says Ramey Shapiro, what does the Gemara mean to say? What does the Pasuk mean to say? That Moshe Rabbeinu, even as he was coming to the end of his life, and Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great individual, still, Moshe Rabbeinu Lekasa Einai, the eye that thought about how insignificant I am, that I, Lekasa Einai, even at the last moments, when he reached such a high level of Kedusha, he still, his eye never got weakened. And the Pnei Menachem says that, the Pasuk says, regarding Bilam, Nofel Somei Einayim, that Bilam was blind in one eye, because Bilam did not have the ability to see how insignificant he was. And because Bilam had that quality, we could understand what Chazal say regarding Bilam. The Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a message to Bilam, Ata mevakish laker uma chagege sholosh regolim. You want to destroy a people that keep the sholosh regolim. And the question is, why from all the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael observe, do Chazal say that Bilam was anxious to destroy the mitzvah of a Lila Regal? But according to the way we're understanding now, it's very beautiful. Bilam was the opposite of a person who's able to see the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he wasn't able to see Shiflas Atzmai. And therefore, he was a person that should not be able to do the mitzvah of a legal regal. Says the Gemara. V'bai Seima. The Gemara goes back to original. In other words, the question was, what does the Mishnah come to add with the words that it began with? Hakel Chayovim Bariya, says the Gemara, Lo'olam K'Amri Mikara, as we originally stated, that it's come to teach us Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim. Ask the Gemara the Kashla Chadravina, but you ask the question that the Mishnah says that Avodim Shenim Meshuchrarim, it seems to teach us that Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim is part of Mariya, says the Gemara, Lo'olam Kasha. Kava Mishnah Rishayna, originally, that was Beis Shul's opinion regarding an Eved that's Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim, that he's exempt from the mitzvah of Lila Regal. Kav Mishnah Chroina, But ultimately, Beis Hillel accepted that they are chayiv in Riyah. And the Gemara explains itself. The Tanan, Misha chetzi eved b'chetzi bin chayrim, the Mishnah Masech, the Gittin, daf mem aleph, amar aleph teaches us an individual's 50% eved and 50% ben chayrim. Oyved is rabbi yoyim echad, v'es atzma yoyim echad. So one day he works for his owner, and one day he works for himself. Divrei Rabbi Beis Hillel. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Amalam Beis Shammai says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, I don't understand your solution. Because the kantam is rabbi. Indeed, his owner is fine. His owner gets whatever he's supposed to have. However, v'es atzma like the kantam. But he is left in limbo. Because Lisa Shivcha any Yachol, he can't marry a Shivcha because the halacha is that a Ben Chayrim, a full-fledged Jew, may not marry a Shivcha. Bas Chayrim any Yachol, he's not allowed to marry a Bas Chayrim because the Torah says, Loisia Kadesh B'nois Yisrael, that a Jewish woman is not allowed to marry somebody who's an Eved. Livato, so say that he shouldn't get married altogether. Ask the Gemara, that isn't an option. The purpose of the creation of the world is that we should have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that there should be people, everybody should have children. Because we have this situation, we force his owner to free him. But of course, the Eved now owes that original owner what he gave up. And Beis Hillel ultimately agreed with Beis Shammai. So we could understand our Mishnah very well. That according to Beis Hillel, the Mishnah, somebody who is a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrim, original, according to Beis Hillel's original position, is pater from Riyah. And when the Mishnah said that avadim shenim v'shuchrorim, which would obviously include chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrim, is pater from Riyah, was following Beis Hillel's original position. But afterwards, the Mishnah added the words hakel chayavim b'riyah to teach us that he is chay b'riyah. Because according to Beis Hillel's final position, that as we just learned, where the owner is obligated to free him, so the halacha looks at this individual that even though the owner has not yet freed him, but since the owner, as we just learned, everybody agrees, is obligated to free him, so we look at him already as an Eved Meshuchar, and since we look as an Eved Meshuchar, that's why he is Chayiv Riya. Of course, the question is, if that's the case, then why did the Mishnah keep the words of Avadim Shenim Meshuchrorim that would make us believe, as we've been learning, that he is not Chayiv in Riyah, if ultimately Beis Hillel agreed? So the Rishonim all explain. Mishnah Lezazim Mkoyma. The wording of the Mishnah, Chazal were reluctant to ever change the wording of a Mishnah. And the reason Chazal were reluctant to change the wording of a Mishnah is because, as we've explained previously, they used to learn Torah, Torah Shabbat Peh, as Mishnais and Shas are actually called. And they would memorize the words of the Mishnah. When somebody memorizes something and then you change the wording, it becomes confusing. So even though the wording is not that accurate, they left the actual wording. So the Mishnah said that the Gemara just said, according to Beis Hillel's original opinion, to Kantamis Rabbi, you've taken care of the owner. And Tosfos asks that he hasn't really been taken care of, because the halacha is that if somebody has an Eved Kanani, he could give the Eved Kanani a Shivcha Kananis to marry, and they'll have children. And this case, because he's a Chetzi Eved, we haven't taken care of that concern. So why does the Gemara use that according to Beis Hillel, Tekantimus Rabbi? So Tosfos says that we're not really Tekantimus Rabbi. What it means is that as far as the Dinei Mamonos are concerned, that aspect of the financial situation has been taken care of. But as far as he's concerned, he doesn't really have any benefit with that type of an arrangement. And that's why the Gemara could use the word Tekantimus Rabbi. So it says in the Gemara, Lisa Shivcha in Yachel, he can't marry Shivcha because half Ben Yisrael. But the question is, why would that be a solution? The solution is, even if he were to marry a Shivcha, so we know the children of a Shivcha follow the mother. And if they follow the mother and they don't have Yichas after him, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Pura Rivya. So because of that, we could understand the question, the answer to that question, we could understand something else that we're going to discuss in a moment. And that is the Gemara, when it speaks about the his inability to get married, says, the world was created for Pir V'Rivya, Shenemar, and the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Le'Sara Baro, Le'Sheves Yitzaro. And all the Rishonim, as we're going to discuss, ask the question, why does the Gemara mention that Pasuk? Why doesn't the Gemara mention the Pasuk that a Pur Vu, which is the primary, which is the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, which is the primary purpose, which is the primary mitzvah? From here we see that the primary mitzvah is not being mekayim the mitzvah Pur Vu. In order to be mekayim the mitzvah Pur Vu, that would not be a good enough reason to free this individual. But the issue is that he has to have children. And he can't have children if he can't get married. Because and the reason he can't have children, because as we said, he can't marry a shivcha. And the Rishonim point out that we don't look at this individual that he's half eved and half not eved. And he should marry another individual who's half eved and half not eved. Because that isn't the same. When we have a fruit, they explain, for example, which is a combination of two fruits. So that is 50-50. And therefore, since that's 50-50, such a fruit could be merged with another fruit, which is identical, and it wouldn't be considered kliyim. Because that is the physical makeup of that fruit. And when a person has relations, we can't separate the person into two and say the chatzi eved is having relations with the chatzi shivcha, and the chatzi ben chayrim is having relations with the chatzi bas chayrim. A person is one whole entity. A person having relations is one whole entity, and therefore that isn't an option. So Tosfos asks, isn't there a rule of esse doicha loisa say, and therefore the esse of pur revu should be doicha the loisa say of loisir kadesha b'nais Yisrael, that a Jewish man is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, the mitzvah pur revu should be doicha that. So Tosfos answers that the mitzvah of the rule of esed doicha loisa say, one Tosfos suggests, is only be'idnei, when at the same time you're doing the mitzvah say, you're also violating the mitzvah loisa say. The mitzvah of the lav of loisir kadesha occurs as soon as the person starts doing the bia. The mitzvah, however, was only fulfilled when he finishes having the bia, which could help him, which could cause that he should have children. So since they don't come simultaneously, we can't apply the concept of esed doicha loisa say. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, we only say esed doicha loisa say in the last resort, when there's no other options. But here, as the Gemara just taught us, there are other options, and therefore we can't say esed doicha loisa say. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is the esed doicha loisa say maybe applies to him. He has no option, but he's stuck, as we just discussed. But the woman is not stuck. And the woman, if she's going to have relations, that the Torah says she's not supposed to have relations, is over the lav of Loisir Kadesha. Esed Doicha Loisa say may be applicable to him, but there's no application to him. The Tori Evan says that there is another option for this individual, and that is he can marry a mamzeris. And therefore, since that's an option, we shouldn't say esed doicha loisa say. So of course, ask the Tori Evan, if halachically getting married to mamzeres is a option, so ask the Tori Evan, so let the Gemara suggest that. The answer to the Tori Evan, if he's going to marry a mamzeres, the child that will be born will halachically be considered a mamzer. And we don't want to multiply mamzerim and klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't give that option. Another teretz that Tori Evan says, that even though we just said that there is a rule of esed doicha loisa say, says the Tori Evan, we don't say esed doicha loisa say on an essay that's before Kabbalah Satoira. As we said, the essay that's being referred to here is the mitzvah essay of Pur Revu, which is a mitzvah essay that was in existence before Kabbalah Satoira. On such a mitzvah essay, we don't say essay Daicha loisa say. So as we mentioned, Taisus asks, why does the Gemara, when it wants to speak about the mitzvah say, quote the pasuk of Leisar Barol Sheves Yitzaru, not the mitzvah say that the Torah speaks about a Puravu? So Taisus answers that from the pasuk of Leisar Barol Lesheves Yitzaru, it's considered a more significant essay. Because we learned in Masechet Megillah, Daf Chav Zayin of Aleph, that the mitzvahs, that because of that pasuk, we're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, even though, as we learned there in the Gemara, they normally we're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. And therefore, that's why it's considered a more significant mitzvah. That's why this pasuk is quoted. Taisus in Masechet Baba Basra gives a different teretz. Taisus says that throughout halacha there's a concept of oinus rachmana patri, that the Torah says that you're supposed to do a mitzvah, but if you don't have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, then you can't do the mitzvah. However, what the Gemara means to teach us here is loisar baro is a important, such an important mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that we're here in the world for. And therefore, since we're here in the world for that mitzvah, we don't apply the concept of Einus Rachmana Patrei, and we do everything that we can to free the slave to be able to get married. So Taisus asks, we know that the Gemara says, that the Pasuk says, La'olam behem tavoidu. And the halacha therefore is that a kol mishachre avdoi, if somebody frees his eved, over basay, he's over that mitzvah say of loyalam behem tavoidu. So ask Taisus, how could our Gemara suggest that we should free the eved in order that he should be able to get married and be over a mitzvah say? So Taisus says from here that pshat in the Gemara is that because, as the Gemara just proved, the mitzvah of having children is such a vital, important mitzvah, here we allow one to violate the mitzvah say of loyalam behem tavoidu in order that this person should be able to get married and have children. So from here we learn a very important concept, that we allow a person, who's the one that's freeing the eved? The owner. Who's going to then have the children? This eved. So I am doing an aveira in order to be able to help somebody to do a mitzvah. That's a chiddush, because normally we say, we don't tell a person do an aveira in order that somebody else should do a mitzvah. And therefore, because of this question, the Ran, Masech de Gittin, has a different approach. He says that even though there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu, the mitzvah of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu was only said in a circumstance where there's no tzairich, there's no real need to free the Eved. But in a situation where there's a real need to free the Eved, then we allow to violate Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu. That's why we learned the Gemara Masech de Brachos. The Gemara Masech de Gittin speaks about freeing an Eved Kanani in order that we should be able to have a minyan. In other words, says the Ran, that the mitzvah of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu is a conditional mitzvah. And since it's a conditional mitzvah, in the case, like our case, that we're doing so in order that the Eved should be able to have children, under such circumstances, there's no violation of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu in freeing this individual. So we learned in the Mishnah, the Chutz Mecheres Shoyt V'Katan. Everybody is Chai V'Riyah, Chutz Mecheres Shoyt V'Katan. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah classified a cherish together with a shayt v'katan. Mas shayt v'katan. What's the reason a shayt v'katan are exempt from riyah? Because the labnei deah, they're not considered properly intelligent, and therefore they're not mechuyah b'mitzvahs. Af cherish, the labnei deah. The cherish that's being discussed is an individual who doesn't have the proper intelligence. The kamash malon. And what is our Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah is teaching us, as we learned Kretanan in the Mishnah Masechta Trumas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Cheresh Shedibru Chacham B'Kol Mokayim. When Chazal speak about a Cheresh, it's talking about an individual, Sheina Shemeya Veinim B'Dabar, so that he can't hear or speak, a deaf mute. Only such individual is considered a individual that doesn't have the proper intelligence. And even though he does have intelligence, but Chazal determined that the intelligence that he had is not considered intelligent enough that he should be mechuyev mitzvahs. Ha, were you to have an individual that's medaber v'en shemeya, that could speak and not hear, or shemeya v'en medaber, or hear and not speak, chayiv, he would be chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Tanina l'hada Tana Rabbanan, our Mishnah is teaching us what we've learned actually in a Braisa, that a medaber v'en shemeya, zeh cherish. Shemeya v'en medaber, zeh elum. Zeh v'zeh, both of these individuals, the halacha views them as kepichim chodavreim, perfectly intelligent. Says the Gemara, Umemai, where does the Braisa establish, from where does the Braisa establish, the medaber v'en shemeya, zeh cherish, that somebody who could speak but not hear is in the category of a cherish, or, and on the other hand, shemei ve'en medaber, if you could hear and not speak, ze ilim, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, v'nike cherish loy eshma, so we see that the characteristic of a cherish is an individual, loy eshma, who doesn't have the ability to speak, to hear, uki ilim, and the characteristic of an ilim is an individual who loy yiftach piv, who doesn't have the ability to speak. Vibayis ema, another way of understanding of ilim means an individual who can't speak, because the Karamri Inchius people explain the definition of ilim is a shtakech melule, an individual who it was taken away from him the ability to speak. There's an interesting question that our Gemara just said that a cheresh shoyt v'katan are potter from all mitzvahs. So certainly the potter from mitzvahs lois to say. For mitzvahs I say, what is the halacha regarding mitzvahs lois to say? Are they over mitzvahs lois to say? In other words, if a cheresh shoyt v'katan owned chametz on Pesach, would that chametz be osur at chametz shovel on Pesach? And many achroinim are of the opinion that even though they're exempt for mitzvahs asay, they're not exempt for mitzvahs lois asay. But there are others, the Chalkas Yoyev, the first piece in the Chalkas Yoyev, Chalik Aleph, Simon Aleph, he says that mitzvahs asay require an act. And a mitzvah asay of a katan is not considered a halachically accepted act. But when we speak about a mitzvah lois asay, that's a passive act. And therefore, since it's a passive act, maybe Chereshayt v'Katan will be chayiv. And therefore, he wants to differentiate between different types of averus. He says, when you have an avera that involves an action to have been considered violating the avera, so there it could well be that a Chereshayt v'Katan are not over an avera. Because as we just said, anything that they do is really halachically not considered significant. But when there's an aveira that doesn't require an act, chametz, shovel of a Pesach that we just mentioned, it doesn't require doing something. It just requires owning chametz on Pesach. That is not an act. In such situation, it could well be that he is chayiv even in mitzvahs lois asay. There's a very serious discussion amongst the achroinim. Our Gemara spoke about a cheresh shoyt v'katan. What is the halacha about Baruch Hashem, we have schools and we have methods of teaching cheresh how to speak and how to hear, different types of medical advances. What will the halacha be by such individuals? The Divrei Chaim discusses this in Chelek Beis, Siman Ayin Beis, and other achrayim, the Beis Shloima in Or Chaim, Siman Tzadik Hei, discuss such individuals, and they seem to paskin that we could treat these individuals kipikeach l'chol dvarav. We could treat them as full-fledged, intelligent individuals. The Maram Shik in Evan Ezra's Siman Ayin Tes disagrees. It says if our Gemara established that the part of menamitzus, the part of menamitzus. We learned, we just said, medaber v'en shemeya, or shein medaber is chayiv. Ask the Gemara of Otanya, have we not learned in the Braisa, Hamadav Vein Shemeya, or Shemeya Vein Medaber, Omer Vina Vitamer Rava, that such individuals are Potam and Ariya? So, how do we understand what we just learned?
Answers the Gemara, Chsurim Mechsur Echitani. This way to understand. Haku b'chayav and b'riyah b'simcha. Everybody's mechuyiv, you know, in riyah and simcha. Chutz mechayav shemadav v'en shemeya, shemeya v'en medaber. That these individual are potim and ariyah. But says the Gemara, v'ab b'sha potim and ariyah, even though they're potter from riyah, they're still chayiv b'simcha. V'she'en loy shemeya v'loy medaber, or shayit v'katan, potter So what our Mishnah mentions, the cherish together with a shayt of a cotton, is talking about a cherish and a shemeya v'ena medaber. But a cherish that shemeya v'ena medaber, or medaber v'ena shemeya, indeed he'll be potter from riyah, but he'll be chayiv and simcha. It says the Gemara Tanya Lamihachi, Hakol chayav b'riyah b'simcha, chutz mecherish medaber v'ena shemeya, or shemeya v'ena medaber, shemeturim in a riyah, they're exempt from riyah. However, says the Braisa, even though they're potter from Ariyah, chayv b'simcha. He's chayv in simcha. It says the Gemara, v'she'en shmei v'loy medaber, or shayt v'katan, p'turim af min ha-simcha, hoyav p'turim mikol mitzvah min Torah. And in Mitzvah Shem, as we begin tomorrow's shir, the Gemara is going to explain why the halacha differentiates between the mitzvah Ariyah and the mitzvah simcha.